Okay, so today we are going to be discussing the inner critic. It's that voice inside our heads that tells us we are not good enough or strong enough or successful enough or pretty enough. And it's a nagging voice that tries to bring us down, and it often succeeds. So before we start discussing the inner critic or the judgmental mind, let's just again adopt a posture of presence, maybe just coming into more of an erect seated position. If you're lying down, also just getting into a position where you are alert. Just taking a nice deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. Nice deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. Just really using all your senses and going into a state of deep mindful listening. So this inner critic, you might wonder why it's not part of the five hindrances or part of the hindrances. But you'll see when you explore the inner critic and how it operates, you will sense how the, almost like the winds of the hindrances flow through all of it. So clinging, aversion, restlessness, doubt, which eventually all leads to sloth, the inner critic is ever present within all of these hindrances. So our inner critic shows up when we are most vulnerable, usually, or fearful or sad. And it's this scolding, critical, manipulative, and almost like an intimidating inner voice. So it's a very harsh voice. It's not a voice that we like. But most of the time we are not even aware of it. We're not even aware that it's operating, especially if we are operating on autopilot, then it's just this voice that's ever present and we are not even aware that it's there. So there are many different types of inner critic voices. And it can show up in many ways. It can show up as the controller. And this is the voice that constantly demands action. So this voice says stuff like, "Oh, you're such a lazy slob. Get up and go do the dishes right now. What's wrong with you? Hurry up and do it. The boss wants it and there's a deadline. Do it or else you'll get fired." So the controlling voice is one that's very harsh and wants you to get up and go do things. The judge. Now, this is the voice that sits on the high bench and it evaluates and it finds fault with your performance before you even begin a task. So this is the voice that will say, let's say you need to create something creative. It will say to you, "Oh, who do you think you are? You can't draw, you can't write stories." Or maybe you need to go somewhere and you know that your general direction is not so good. It will say to you before you even start, "Oh, you suck, your direction sucks and you're never going to get there, you're going to get lost." Or "Who do you think you are? You can't speak in front of people, you're too shy." Or "You can't meditate, so why do you even start your practice?" Then there can be the voice of doom and gloom. And this is that fearful voice that's always sending messages filled with shame and doubt. So maybe you saw a beautiful dress and you've got a wedding or a party coming up, and as you're getting ready for it and you put it on, that's the voice that says to you, "Are you really sure you want to wear that? It looks so much better in the shop. You're going to get there and everyone's going to laugh at you because you're fat." And then, yeah, there are many different kinds of voices other than these three. But it's important, the important thing is for you to know what your inner critic sounds like. So you must be able to identify it. You must be able to, as soon as it shows up, kind of be able to say to yourself, "Oh, but this is my inner critic." And you need to be able to recognize it when it talks, because if you do not recognize it, then it just controls your whole behavior. So people often say when it comes to your inner critic, it's actually just there to defend you. and it just wants to keep you safe. And you might be wondering, but how? It doesn't feel like it's trying to keep me safe. It feels like it's just there to criticize me and to bring me down. So I got this nice story of a person that describes the inner critic and how she deals with it. So she says, I'll envision the fear as a child. So she says she sees the, sometimes it helps to visualize the inner critic as a scared child. Most of us would respond with compassion if we saw a child suffering. Sometimes when I notice the critical self-talk in action, I'll envision the fear as a child. I see the inner critic as a little girl who's wearing an oversized lab coat and a hard hat. She stands anxiously watching over a grid with many blinking colorful lights. While the grid contains a kaleidoscope of beautiful flashing colors, the inner critic ignores the beauty and instead is waiting for the moment when the grid flashes red. Why red? Because it represents danger. Think of stop signs, traffic lights, hazard lights, and ambulance. When the illusion of trouble enters in the mind, the grid flashes red, an alarm goes off, and a loud voice starts the countdown towards self-destruction. The inner critic immediately goes to work trying to avert danger in any way she can, and the negative self-talk begins. So the inner critic will say things such as, you're such a loser, no wonder creative thoughts don't stick around. I'd leave too if I could. If I believe these thoughts, I might get paralyzed and stop myself from doing something that helps others and brings me joy. If instead I learn to look beyond the critical self-talk, I can begin to connect with the vulnerability beneath the defenses. There's the important sentence. I can begin to connect with the vulnerability beneath the defenses. So if you look beyond the inner critic and this defensive stance, it's quite a nice picture that she paints with this little girl with a top hat on trying to protect her. So if you look beyond the inner critic and the defensive stance, you'll see that there are feelings of vulnerability and fear. So if we take that, what she was speaking about, when the little girl says, or the inner critic says, you're such a loser, no wonder creative thoughts don't stick around. I'd leave too if I could. What's beneath all of that is a fear of failure. What if I don't accomplish this task correctly? And I lose connection to the people that I value the most. So when I pause and I connect through the practice of mindfulness and just recognize that fear is present, then I can begin to respond in a different way. Instead of, if I'm not aware that this is what my inner critic is doing, then I stop. Sometimes I don't even start. I believe it. That's the big problem here, is if I don't recognize my inner critic and I don't recognize it for what it is, that it's usually just fear that's underneath, then it kind of stops me from going ahead and doing what I should. But if I realize, but this is what's going on, I recognize my inner critic and I recognize that in this moment, and that's the mindfulness part, there's fear present right here. And I can acknowledge it and then I carry on in any way. So I respond in many ways that are healing for me. And also more compassionate. So this whole thing with the inner critic is then to be more compassionate towards this inner critic and kind of just acknowledge, yes, thank you, I hear you, but your help is not needed today. I'm not going to go that much into compassion or self-compassion because later on I'm going to be doing a whole session on that. But the big thing when it comes to the inner critic is to be a little bit more kind and compassionate towards the inner critic, which in the end is actually towards you. Hey? So this inner critic can really limit our experiences if we do not acknowledge it. So for now, I'm going to also be doing soon just a session on the thoughts and your, because the inner critic and actually all the hindrances has got to do with thoughts and how to work more skillfully with your thoughts. So up to now, it's really bringing awareness to the five hindrances and awareness to this inner critic. And also maybe just taking in a stance of observation, because then what happens is then you are not your inner critic and you're not a failure. I am a failure, because that's what we say. You're such a loser. I'm such a loser. I'm such a failure. I'll never succeed. So if you take a stance of observation, then you are just seeing these thoughts and you're almost separate from it. So you're taking in the stance of an observer of, oh, okay, so this is my inner critic. So today I just want to encourage you, or the invitation is really just to become aware of your inner critic and become aware of the role that it plays, the tone of voice that it has. Again, is there images involved? Does it just stay with one judgment, or does it almost go on a roll and start judging you about all kinds of stuff and not just that which you're busy with? So just bring awareness to this and see whether you can also become aware of the fear that is underneath the inner critic. So I found a very nice poem that someone wrote, actually Donna Fold, so she's got very nice poetry, that's called Self-Observation Without Judgment. Release the harsh and pointed inner voice. It's just a throwback to the past and holds no truth about this moment. Let go of self-judgment, the old learned ways of beating yourself up for each imagined inadequacy. Allow the dialogue within the mind to grow friendlier and quiet. Shift out of inner criticism and life suddenly looks very different. I can say this is only because I make the choice 100 times a day to release the voice that refuses to acknowledge the real me. What's needed here isn't more prodding towards perfection, but intimacy, seeing clearly and embracing what I see. Love, not judgment, sows the seeds of tranquility and change.